This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We want to get an update on Wildlife Safari, where there are a lot of things going on. Executive Director Dan Van Slyke and Development and Marketing Director Taylor Holman, thanks for coming in.
Really appreciate you having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So, Dan, you guys seem to never slow down there.
You know, we got so many things happening now. We're coming off of summer, moving into our season of holidays. And I wanted Taylor to kind of briefly go through some of the activities we have, because they're really fun. And what's really cool to see is the family tradition stuff. You know, we've got, I'll use elephant elves as an example. We've got people coming back year after year after year with their kids, and it's become a part of their family tradition. So do you want to talk about some of the really cool things we have?
Yeah, so coming up in December, the 15th through the 17th is our holiday event weekend. We have wild lights all 3 days, and then the 16th and 17th is our elephant elves, and then our breakfast with Santa. That breakfast is just a really fun thing to do with your family. You can be, if you're an early bird, you can do the early breakfast at 8 a.m., or we have a later option at 9:30, and you can eat breakfast with your family and then have the chance to take a holiday photo with one of our ambassador cheetahs. So that's a really fun thing to do. And then our elephant elves is in the afternoon on those same days, and you can head down and see our gentle giants, get some experience with them, get to see all the different paintings that they do, and just really great time with the family. Then we have our wild lights, where we're going to do an animal play. So our
That's really cute.
Yeah, our village keepers write a play that involves our different animals, and they'll perform that for you guys. So that's a fun thing to do.
So the animals have memorized their lines?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They're very brilliant smart animals. Yeah.
All right.
So we find that most of the animals are much smarter than the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of that. We sure enjoy it, and it's fun just watching, you know, the kids having fun. We came off a season where it was really special with Dream Night. We always like to talk about that. That's a night for handicapped children, terminally ill children, and their families to come out to Wiley Safari. It's a free evening. Day of Discovery was a really big event this year. How many did we have for that?
Oh, in the thousands. There was quite a few. Yeah, it was a really busy day.
So when we roll off of these events, we start to plan those events again coming into this next year. So a lot of that stuff will be happening this winter.
Mm-hmm.
We normally do, traditionally, we do hibernating bears, where you can come out and you can actually see the bears sleep. And some of our big black bears kind of fit that category. They're starting to slow down, and they're in little huts outside. But inside, for the first time, we've got these new little black cubs. In fact, you just saw them the other day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. They're a hoot. They have such big personalities, and they're really fun to see. So you can go see them on our bear feed encounter. I'd highly recommend that this time of year. They're very fun.
We just got, not too awful long ago, we picked up a new grizzly bear, a little female. And now I think in the next maybe 3 weeks, we're going to get a little male out of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened to mom. They don't know. But there was a remote lodge, and this little bear kept coming in and eating. So they picked that bear up. And that's one lucky bear, because they get spoiled at Wiley Safari. So it'll come down. It'll join its partner. And so we'll have these two little grizzly bears. So a lot of activity around bears this year.
Yes. Very big thing for us right now.
Now, during the holiday season, too, I mean, you people have guests that are coming in from out of state or elsewhere in Oregon, you know, and I know a lot of people bring them out for encounters and things like that.
It's fun. You know, we do a big, huge amount of volume with our memberships, and we always like to talk about memberships. You know, for $170, you can have a general family membership with two adults and three kids and a guest. But what's really interesting to me is how many people way outside the area buy memberships. You know, if you buy a membership, it's not a one-time thing. People buy a membership because they want to come back. We have a lot of people, especially out of Seattle, Portland area that come mm-hmm. several times. And I'm always intrigued, you know, you think of membership, well, that must all be local, but it really isn't. It's from way outside the area. So you'll see these people, especially when we start coming around the holiday seasons, they do. They bring in guests from different states and really enjoy the park.
Now, let's talk about some of the projects that you have going on.
So this is the first year, you know, as you know, every year, Kyle, and you're totally tuned into this because you're always our MC for our major fundraiser. And we always have a great fundraiser every year for a specific project. This last couple of years, we actually put a couple of projects together that we're doing simultaneously. One is we're doing a major overhaul on the petting zoo. And the one thing we found with people, they like to get close to the animals. They like to touch the animals. They like to feed the animals. And so we've always felt like if we could get in, and if you go out to the park right now, the area that we call the old kin kitchen area, and it was really where they prepared diets years ago, and it's the building just to the right of the petting zoo, is gone. We've eliminated that whole area, and we're building a new kitchen, a new animal dietary kitchen with a walk-in cooler, walk-in freezer, and so a pretty sophisticated operation. And then along with that, new climbing structures for goats, just a whole variety of opportunities for kids to be able to get in and get close to these animals. So that's happening right now. That's a big project, and you'll see just a lot of activity going on in that area. In the same time period, the rhino exhibit, which we fundraised, a couple of years ago for, we're actually going to rebuild the interior and the exterior of that building. It's a relatively new building. I think the building itself, it can't be much more than 8 years old. But we wanted to completely overhaul the interior because our desire is to have a rhino baby. And so we're going to get the opportunity to bring another rhino in hopes that we can have a chance to have a new rhino baby. And so that's going to have some exterior fencing, too, that's adjacent to our new structure that we have for giraffes. And so when you come into that area, you're going to see rhinos, you're going to see giraffes, and you're going to see the elephants all in a pretty compressed area. So we've broken ground on both those projects, and that's going to go on through the winter. And so as we break into spring, the kids will be able to come out, and they'll get to enjoy this new petting zoo.
Now, the rhinos, obviously, you've got to really think things through with such a large animal.
You really do. They're a dangerous animal. And one thing we found the hard way is, you know, you would think when it gets really cold, they like to be closed in and have nice heat and be comfortable. And so when we came back the next morning when we tried that, and they had completely destroyed the door because they said, no, we like to be in the building, but it's on our terms. So when we want to leave, we want to leave. So there is no closing them down. So what we do now, we have the opportunity for them to come in. They get their groceries. It's nice and warm. But when they want to leave, they get to leave without tearing half the building apart. So you're right. Everything's heavy duty. The pipe's heavy duty just to make sure that everybody's protected and cared for. We do a new rhino encounter now. And you talk about unique. Can you describe that? Because you've done one.
Yeah, that's a really cool experience. So they come into the barn for their breakfast. So we kind of capitalize on that. And then their keepers will show off, do a training session with them, different behaviors that they know how to do, picking up their feet, that sort of thing. And then you actually, as long as the rhinos are feeling up for it, get the chance to touch one of them. One of them kind of likes to be pet more than the other. So
that's cool.
A really cool, very special experience to do.
We always, as we're signing them up in guest services, we always, especially if it's somebody that acts a little apprehensive, we say, well, we're going to bring out a saddle and we'll get you on and you should be able to stay on, all right? So,
yeah, I would think that petting a rhino would have to be something done carefully.
Yeah, very, very carefully.
Yeah, their keepers are really good about it. They keep a really watchful eye on them. So,
All right, we're going to take a break and talk more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel at 4. We're talking wildlife safari today. Dan Van Slyke and Taylor Holman in. So many things. Let's go back to the holidays. Taylor, talk about, you know, people look at gifts, and especially after the pandemic, a lot of people look at more unique gifts, and it sounds like you've got some ideas.
Yeah, we've got a lot to offer on our website. So we are getting ready to do a Black Friday sale. So I know that's a popular time for people to get on and do some shopping.
Now, to be clear, you're not selling animals.
We are not selling animals. Well, stuffed animals, but not the real ones.
Yeah.
We do have some very talented animal artists, however, who would be happy to do some paintings for anyone who wants to purchase one. So if you get on our website, you can pick your colors, pick what animal you would like to paint for you. For example, our elephants are excellent, very talented. You can do red pandas, cheetahs. There's quite a few options on there. And over the Black Friday weekend, so the 24th through the 27th, we are offering free shipping on all online orders. So great time to get online and do some shopping and really pick out some unique gifts for family or friends.
That's the key. You know, you always think, well, every year, what do we get? Socks and this and that, you know, but something unique. And a lot of times people don't think about Wildlife Safari. You know, in our gift shop, we have some really, really unique stuff that's just completely different. But this animal art is really different. And it's all personalized to that animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. The encounters that go with it are really fun.
And for people that, you know, have relatives and friends out of the area, you know, to send them something like that might just entice them to come out here and check it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about, as we were talking about new projects that we're doing at the park, as we're coming into winter, we have a lot of people ask us, well, what does winter look like for the animals? You know, we went through the Snowmageddon. We have some weird dynamics happening, even with the power grid, you know. I never thought, I've lived here my whole life, and I wouldn't think about us being out of power in the middle of summer in downtown Roseburg. And so lots of dynamics like that. And so we've taken that into account, and we put in some new hydraulic gates in our elephant barn, but we also tied in a generator apparatus that go ahead and if the power does go off, this generator kicks on, you know, and it provides power not only for the gates but for heating, you know, for the entire building. We have individual generators set up around the park so that if the power goes off, we can jump on it very quickly. Our animals, and it's a lot of people are not aware that they don't completely depend on like the grazing ground. Like if we own a cattle ranch, and so our cattle depend a lot on the grazing. At Wildlife Safari, it's not so much that way. In fact, we like real static diets for them, real specific, not dietary changes is not really healthy for these guys. And so we have a lot of hay, a lot of feed that we have on a consistent basis. So when the snow rolls in or these cold temperatures happen, we already set up for it. And so it doesn't really affect us. And we have people a lot of times say, well, if snow comes in, is that really tough on your animals? And it really isn't because we're already set up. We're feeding them adequately. They all have shelter. They have heat. And with these new generators that we're able to put online, just life continues on. And I think that's an important component for people to understand that our animals are not going to suffer when things get weird.
And, you know, obviously as well, just being able to get around the park. I mean, you talk about the gates, you know, and if you need to get out to feed a section of animals and you can't get through the gate, you know, jumping over the gate as tall as it is or maybe with whatever's on it, probably not something you want kids staff
no,
doing either.
Absolutely. And then when you get into interior gates, like for these elephants, because we want our staff to be safe, and invariably if the power went out, no doubt that's when you'd need to shift animals. And so without the ability to have electricity to go ahead and drive the motors and the hydraulics on these gates, you'd be in a real quandary. So we're pretty blessed that as we build these projects, we also build these components in that provide us the ability to maneuver animals around no matter what the conditions are. And that's a little unique. And so we take people through and we show them these new structures and new gating apparatuses. I think what people find interesting is coming out, seeing the animals, they like that. But behind the scenes and actually seeing where's the hay, how do you feed them, how do you provide that meat, and you know what that looks like. And if folks are interested in doing that, you know, we can do behind the scenes type of encounters for them that let people kind of see a whole different twist of wildlife safari that maybe they wouldn't normally see.
Now, with the number of animals you have, well, how many animals are there?
I don't know the exact number, but we've...
I would say probably between 500 and 600 is how many we generally have. You know, that always changes when we're bringing in new ones, like we're bringing in that new rhino. So
I say, and I don't have an exact current number on that. You know, hoofstock alters and exchanges. We're a part of what they call the SSP, which is a species survival plan. And so the animals, like we'll take cheetahs for an example. When they breed them, they don't breed them for just numbers. They breed them for quality. So they track the genetics, and so they make sure this male is breeding with this female, and so this male gets shipped off to another institution, and we bring in two females here. So that's why really the total number is like a rolling number. It's not exact because these animals are going in and out. The cool thing is we're the cheetah people, and so we're providing these cheetahs for everywhere. And it, you know, it used to be where a lot of these animals were gathered from the wilds. Well, when you got institutions like us that are actually breeding them, and then other people maybe are heavier into hoof stock, then you don't really have to go outside. You know, you can, it's kind of self-contained, and then you move these animals around and you can provide animals for everybody.
But when you're in the hundreds, I mean, feeding these animals, and some of these animals appear to eat more than most people.
And you know, and it's expensive. It's $18,000 a day. You think about that, 365 days a year just to run the park. Because people will say, well, you know, how come this isn't free, or how come that isn't that, or that seems expensive? And and we try everywhere we can. Like, we provide free village where they can go in, spend time seeing all the smaller animals at no charge. We provide discounts on the drive-through. Like, if you have a membership, you can get anywhere from a 10 to 25% discount on encounters that you do. So we're always running deals. Like AAA military, mm-hmm. you know, discounts. Wherever we can. But the stark reality, like you said, Kyle, is it just costs a lot to feed these guys. You get a lot of staffing, and that's a lot of money, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just doing quick math here, $18,000 a day on food, you're over $6.5 million a year just on food.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and we all talk about going to the grocery store now because of this inflation stuff, you know, and saying, well, gee, stuff is really going up. You know, milk and eggs used to cost this. Now it costs that. Fuel prices, those kinds of things. Well, we're seeing the same thing in wildlife safari. You know, your feed costs, your grain costs, you know, everything goes up. It's all tied back to shipping. Another factor is the gas price. You know, what we're seeing, maybe not so many people that are coming from Colorado to drive to wildlife safari. But then you're seeing maybe the guy is saying, okay, I live in Portland, and maybe I'm not going to go to Yellowstone. Maybe I'm going to go to Wildlife Safari. So we're seeing a shifting to where we're a little bit more localized because of those high fuel prices, but it's still good. You know, we definitely provided something during the pandemic when people really couldn't get anywhere. Well, they could come to Wildlife Safari safely. It just was a real oasis. And that's carried on. There was a lot of new customers created during the pandemic. We had thousands of people. They were backed up clear to Kelly's Corner to come in. And now those people have continued to come in. You know, they've said, man, this is new, neat. This is cool. We're going to come back.
All right. Dan Van Slyke, Taylor Holman from Wildlife Safari. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.